Now, in all our domestic dramas of recent days, a tight election, a remarkable outcome, the loss of Bob Hawke as well, of course, it is understandable if we have lost focus on a huge international story. But it is going to be one of the big challenges for the newly refreshed Morrison government. Relations between China and the US are fraying fast. Some analysts say we are approaching the point where there can be no reset to the recent normal as the trade war worsens and the mood across a whole bunch of fronts gets more tense. Now, Richard McGregor is a longtime China watcher and China resident, currently a senior fellow at the Lowy Institute. Richard McGregor, good morning to you.
Good morning, Hugh.
How would you describe the relationship right now between China and the United States?
Well, it's toxic, and I think it's the big cleavage of our time. You know, to use the sort of technical word, it's about decoupling, the US and China separating. Some people call it, you know, a Cold War. I would say it's more a technological Cold War. So the battleground, you know, there's many points of conflict. It's an ideological dispute. It's geopolitical. It's about raw power. It's regional. But at its base, I think it's about technology. And that's why you see a company like Huawei right in the middle of it, because the high ground of global commerce and probably the high ground of military conflict is about, you know, who is the lead technologically. And that's why they're fighting over that.
So is that about just, it's a commercial dispute over trying to get into markets with technology, or is it something far more fundamental and strategic than that?
Well, it's on its surface a commercial dispute, but obviously much more fundamental than that. It's about, you know, as I said, the commanding heights, I think, of the global economy, of, you know, global technological standards, about surveillance, of course, and all of that, about who can watch whom, and also about, you know, the military. It's about technology, the latest generation. I think the US has finally woken up to the fact that China is catching up with it very quickly, that it's a real rival, not just a possible rival, and it's a rival on many, many fronts, and it's a rival which doesn't intend to take a back seat and is not just happy with being number two under Xi Jinping. China is ambitious.
So some people in the early days of the Trump administration believed that he was excessively bullish towards China, he was too aggressive towards them, and that this is basically in the image of Trump, this trade war that we've now got. Is that, in fact, a fair analysis?
Well, you can say many things about Trump, but I think the way he handled China early on was pretty good, actually. Very few people have managed to rattle the Chinese leadership like Trump did, because he's literally so unpredictable. He's unpredictable to his chief of staff, who's 5 meters down the corridor, let alone people in Beijing. And so the tariffs have been really destabilizing in China. I think they've sort of got back on their feet now. But, you know, the trouble with Trump is, you know, he did pretty well, but tariffs for him are not just a sort of negotiating technique, a very good one. They might be an end in themselves. That's the first thing. The second problem with Trump and China is that Europe and Japan would all like to work with the US on getting a unified policy on China, but Trump likes to do everything mano a mano, sort of, you know, bilaterally.
But isn't it also true that the Democrats, this has become a bipartisan issue in the United States. The Democrats, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has said that she wants the United States to go further when it comes to confronting China on issues of trade.
This
isn't one man anymore.
No,
is it?
That's the other sort of set of moving parts. You know, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, the Democratic Senate leader, are all want to be tough on China. You know, you don't get much bipartisanship in the US these days. You have it over China. You know, whoever runs from whichever party in the next presidential election, is not going to sort of run on a let's make up with China in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Ohio, Wisconsin, where it'll be decided. But there's not agreement on Trump's tactics, number one, and there's not agreement on the damage that is being now done to the US economy, particularly in the farm states, because of Chinese retaliation. So we've got to see how that bipartisanship holds. I think, you know, it might not be as strong in a year's time.
One possibility is that the United States might move towards a recession. Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist to Donald Trump, is saying, well, Americans might be willing to accept a recession if it means that manufacturing comes back into the heartland of the United States.
Well, that might be. You know, Steve Bannon says all sorts of things. But the point about this is that manufacturing, some of it is leaving China because the US is forcing it out. but it's not coming back to the US. It's going to Vietnam, it's going to Malaysia, it's going to Taiwan and the like. That's the first thing. The second thing, China might have an economic slowdown as well, but China doesn't, the Communist Party doesn't have to deal with voters or primaries. It doesn't have to deal with shareholders and the like. So there's a lot more points of pressure in the US over time, I think, to push the US to seek some sort of at least medium-term settlement.
What does all this mean for Australia?
Well, Australia, it's funny actually. In the short term, you know, we might gain from this in a perverse sort of way because, you know, the Australian economy remains complementary to China. We don't compete with China. So that China was going to buy a whole lot of bulk goods, LNG, farm goods from the US to settle this issue. They're not going to do that now. So that means they won't displace Australian exports to China. In the longer term, it's obviously terrible for Australia and just about any other country. You know, we always talk in Australia how, oh, we don't have to choose between our economic partner and our security alliance. But of course, these days, it's not us deciding whether we have to choose. It's the US and China saying, no, come on, make a choice. We want you to make a choice. And we don't want to make that choice. And in some respects, we've made our choice because we're a US ally. We're worried about US-China relations, but Australia's relations with China are still in the icebox. We had a bit of a reset in December last year, January this year. But since then, and I've spoken to people about this, China has put us back in the freezer. Now, that might be because they're waiting for the results of the election. We'll see. But, you know, China looks at us as a firm ally of the US and might end up punishing us because of that.
But aren't we likely to be forced more and more into a choice because China is more and more assertive militarily, strategically? These islands that they've built up in the South China Sea, there are human rights issues that are back being just talked about more within China. Is the choice being forced on us?
Absolutely. That's precisely my point. Huawei is a good example of that, even though we were ahead of the pack to China's fury. The South China Sea, we've stood with Japan and the US constantly making statements about China, about that. China doesn't like that. We've very pointedly stayed out of the Belt and Road Initiative. China hasn't been happy about the symbolism of that. You know, there's bigger issues coming down the road. There's Xinjiang internment camps in Western China. We haven't said much about that, but that might become a bigger issue for critics of China.
So this is a mass imprisonment, a detention of Uyghurs, for the most part, a Muslim minority in the West of
China.
That's
right. I mean, how many? Up to a million. It's absolutely astounding what is happening there, but not few people have said something about that. The US might bring sort of Magnitsky-type sanctions against China because of that, as they did with Putin. And so there's, you know, once this train leaves the station, once they start, you know, really fighting, then it starts to get very perilous. And of course, we could have some sort of incident at sea in the South China Sea. Taiwan is on the boil slightly. Then you get really, you know, difficult choices of a military nature. No one, you know, we can all hope it doesn't come to that, but, you know, we don't know where we're heading.
A big test for Prime Minister Scott Morrison. I think his first big multilateral meeting is the G20. That's coming up in Japan at the end of next month. Richard McGregor, thank you for giving us your insights today.
Thank you.